I'm your host, Annie Bowles, and this is News du Jour. Welcome to News du Jour. You may be wondering, why am I, Annie Bowles, here hosting this podcast? I usually start by telling people I'm a political baby. You see, my parents met working on Capitol Hill. By the time I was two, I had been in my first political commercial and even got lost crawling around the West Wing. Don't worry, Al Gore found me. My family then moved abroad when I was nine, and I attended an international school in Brussels with kids from all over the world, and it is this type of global perspective that I also bring to our show. I graduated from American University in DC after studying political science and art history, as well as interning on both sides of Capitol Hill. I even interned down the hall from where my parents met. I'm now pursuing a professional certificate in journalism at NYU in conjunction with Rolling Stone magazine. I guess I was always that friend in the group who cared deeply about not just what was going on politically, but also globally. I often kept my own friends informed through high school and into young adulthood, so I guess I've always done a version of this show. I'm genuinely passionate about following the news, and I'm here to break it down for you guys every weekday. We always strive to be a calmer space to get your news, or as one listener put it, like getting your news from a well-informed bestie. I'm so glad you're here. Hey guys, so I never come on here to this podcast and just speak freely. I always have an outline of each episode and what exactly I'm going to be talking about each day, scripted sometimes just so that I am, you know, getting the facts right for you guys and things of that nature, but I never show up just freeballing, empty-handed. But today, that's gonna be the vibe because there's not a lot of news today. There wasn't a lot of news yesterday, and I've been working so tirelessly on this bill. And if you follow me on social media, you know that. I feel like my page has just become all about this piece of legislation, and it's, you know, our campaign is wrapping up, so things will get back to normal very soon here. But I wanted to take this time and this episode to really just like walk you guys through where we're at, what we accomplished yesterday, and just give you a big fat update on this bill and how it can help people. So yesterday was the House vote. So we had already passed the Senate 45-0, and the House is really going to be the big push because the House is big. There's more members over there. It's rowdier. There's just like younger people involved because there's more seats. It's the Senate is a little bit more refined and regal. And that's the same for on the federal level. I interned on both sides when I was in college. So I felt like I got a good sense of what happens on both sides of Capitol Hill up there in DC. But it seems like it's pretty much the same vibes down here where the House is just a little bit more rowdy, unexpected. And that's definitely what happened yesterday. You know, we have lobbyists that work for Appleseed. So what they do is go and whip the votes. So if you've never heard that, basically whipping the votes is like going and asking each person what they plan to vote on this bill and counting and like tallying everything up. And we were pretty confident we had it because we needed this bill to pass by a simple majority. So the way that that's different is sometimes you need a 2/3 majority, and that's a much higher benchmark than a simple majority where you just need one more than half, right? So simple majority was a pretty, you know, it was a much easier benchmark, but we still exceeded that by quite a bit. We only had three no's. And actually, what was really surprising, and this is why I said, you know, yesterday was par for the course in terms of the House being rowdy, one of our co-authors on the bill, so somebody who like had, you know, helped present the bill, turned on us and voted no today. Like, they going in, you know, yesterday and everything, they were saying that they were going to co-author our bill, and then they flipped on us. So that was a very interesting thing. And I think I'm going to say this as delicately as possible, but essentially our only opponents when it came to this bill were some DAs in Tulsa that didn't want their cases being changed in any way. They felt justice had been served in the way that things played out, and they didn't want those cases changed, as far as I can understand. And they didn't want to come right out and say that they didn't support our bill. So instead, they would go in these roundabout ways and call these legislators or come visit them and, you know, in certain cases say they were going to run other candidates against them and things like that. So sort of, you know, threatening them politically speaking. But at the same time, you know, it's hard to say what this person was thinking when they flip-flopped like that. But I'm wondering if it had to do with pressure from these DAs. You know, I just don't know why else they would flip-flop that on the day of. But anyway, it's neither here nor there because our bill passed with flying colors. So now that it's passed the Senate and passed the House, the last hurdle for it politically is to go to the governor's desk. The governor has three options here. The first option is he can sign it. And what that would mean is he's essentially putting his name on this bill. He's saying, I love this bill so much that I want to like endorse it basically by signing it into law myself. But if he does not do that, a second option is that he just ignores it. If he ignores the bill, it automatically becomes a law after 5 business days. And after taking a look at the calendar, that puts us at Wednesday of next week. So we're going to be watching that date. The third option for Governor Stitt is that he vetoes our bill. He says, I am strongly against this, and shoots it down, which obviously would be the most disheartening thing that could possibly happen at this time. But it's always a possibility. We have no indication that he will be doing that. And actually, his wife, Sarah Stitt, has made hopelessness like her theme as First Lady of Oklahoma. And she has championed, you know, both causes to do with domestic violence, as I understand it, and, you know, people who are incarcerated. So I feel like this is the perfect marriage of those two themes. And so I'm hoping that word has reached her about our bill and what we're doing, and that, you know, she might want to help champion our bill with her husband. We'll see how that goes. I don't know for sure that we've made contact with her or anything like that. But if I hear word of any movement to do with the governor, I will definitely keep you guys updated. That is what, you know, we're watching right now and waiting for. And then, you know, once, if and when things were to pass Governor Stitt, the next hurdle would be November 1st. And in November 1st, what would happen is the bill officially goes into effect. So, you know, it would be passed if the governor signs it or ignores it, but it wouldn't actually go into effect and like be a working law until November the 1st. And so that is when we will have an opportunity for anyone who is currently serving a sentence that their crime stemmed from their abuse, and they have evidence and documentation of that abuse to present to the court. If those two benchmarks are met, and again, that's that their crime stemmed from their abuse and that they have evidence of that abuse, then they can go to in front of a judge and basically request a resentencing under this new law. And so the judge can choose to take a look at the evidence, make sure, yes, they were being abused by this person. Yes, the crime did have to do with that abuse. If they can meet those two benchmarks, then they can be resentenced under the new law to less time. And in April's case, if you guys were following the April Wilkins case, you know, we did a bonus episode with her sharing her story in her own words from prison. If you're invested in that, April, under this new law, would be resentenced to 25 years, and she's already served 26. So she would get out under this new law. And I mean, that has been a big guidepost for us through all of this. Retroactivity was the entire reason our first bill got killed. Appleseed went to bat for that in particular. Retroactivity just means that it applies to previous cases, not just cases going forward. And that's hugely important because justice can't just be going forward. We need to have justice for everybody. And all these women who are in prison, you know, it's just as unfair to them as it would be to women going forward. And so at the end of the day, we knew we needed retroactivity. And so Appleseed took one for the team and started completely over with this bill when it was originally introduced in the House. It was a House bill. When I came in, they were just, you know, it was a Senate bill already. Anywho, so November 1st, let's say that it becomes a law. So signs it or ignores it. Then between that time, next Wednesday, and November 1st, it will be a sprint to basically figure out who this law would apply to who's currently incarcerated, make a list of all those people, and start working their cases and start compiling their evidence and start filling out the paperwork and all that stuff. And we already have 13 identified that we think are solid cases to fall under this piece of legislation. And we would seek to have all of that paperwork put together, all of the evidence compiled by November 1st, so that come November 1st, we can file all of those things and basically get these women in front of judges to hear their evidence. And I'm really hoping that all of this can work like clockwork and work the way we want it to. You know, there's hiccups all along the way with things, and so far things have been very smooth for us. So I just, you know, I don't want to count our chickens before they hatch, but I'm just so grateful to everyone who made this happen. And I don't know if it'll mean anything. I doubt it will reach their ears, but I wanted to give a shout out to our two main authors, which are Senator Treat and Speaker of the House, I believe, John Eccles. Amazing. Like, they just didn't back down from the fight when they were, you know, definitely getting the worst of the political threats and the, you know, badgering them. They just stood up under pressure. And actually, I heard, and I don't know, you know, if he fully plans to do this, but I had heard that Eccles is considering coming out of retirement as an attorney to work some of these cases and do some of that legal legwork for the survivors that I was talking about, where, you know, they're all going to have to compile their evidence, fill out the paperwork, and get in front of a judge. And they're going to need an attorney to help them do that. And so he's considering coming out of retirement to work some of these cases, which just, it meant the world to us because it shows that it's not just about, you know, getting a political win, and it's not just about the game of it all. He's really understanding what's at stake here for women. And anyway, I was very moved by that, and I was very moved by the way that both Treat and Eccles stood up under pressure, and the way that they conducted themselves in meetings was just, it was really a pleasant surprise to have men who just stood up and did the right thing and weren't taking no for an answer in such a positive way. I felt like we had true champions in both of them. So just wanted to give a very strongly worded shout out to them because we couldn't have had better men on our team when we needed them. So, and everybody on the team at Appleseed is so incredible. Colleen McCarty is our fearless leader, and Caressa is our organizer. Leslie Briggs is our lead attorney. And, you know, everything came together. We also have lobbyist Jamie Mack. You know, I could go on and on, but everybody works in concert together. And speaking of us all working together, I have a really exciting event that I don't even know if I've told you guys about on the podcast. Maybe I've only shared it on social media, but we have essentially a large-scale floral installation happening in downtown Oklahoma City. It's at a location called Spark Creative Lab, and that's like, if you're here in OKC, that is like a little bit west of the Jones in that kind of like up and coming area. It's like a blank, like kind of warehouse space where they do like performances or private dinners, things like that. And we are going to be filling the whole thing with flowers for the survivors. So essentially this local florist group called the Wild Mother Creative Studio, they usually do like weddings and like big large scale florals for like film sets and things like that. And each year in the spring, when they have a surplus of flowers, they donate those flowers to a cause. And in the past, the first iteration of it was for Greenwood. So they did send flowers to Greenwood, and they did it for the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre, and essentially did it at the unmarked graves in Tulsa. And it was almost more like a funeral look. It was really incredible, super moving. I think it rained that day too, and that just added this air of like solemnity and just made it even more magical from the photos. I wasn't there in person. Definitely donated to both. But then the second iteration was send flowers to MMIW, which if you've missed all of our bonus episodes on the subject, that is missing and murdered Indigenous women. We have a ton of bonus episodes that touch on this, or like faceplant into certain cases. Definitely scroll down in your feed if you're interested in learning more about that movement. But that was held at the First Americans Museum, and they had like dancers and activists who spoke, and it was just super incredible to attend. I attended when I was very pregnant. And then this year they're doing send flowers to survivors. And so they're using the flowers to essentially raise awareness about different topics. And this year we are raising awareness about domestic violence generally, but also criminalized survivorship specifically. And criminalized survivorship, we've talked about it in these bonus episodes. If you're curious to learn more about that, definitely listen to the Nikki Adamondo bonus episode we did. But they kind of coined the term, but it's basically where an abuser uses, you know, the criminal justice system to further abuse someone. Examples might be, you know, I hear a lot of cases lately in doing this work where the guy, usually it's a guy, but an abuser will go to court and say that they're the one being abused, they're the one being stalked, and attempt to get their victims' children taken away and things like that. So turning the tables is one way of using the criminal justice system against a victim, but there's lots of different ways. For example, forcing a victim to carry drugs, and then when they get caught with the drugs, they're the one who gets in trouble. Forcing a victim to steal a car, or forcing a victim to have to defend themselves, which unfortunately we've seen as a theme in all of these cases over and over again. So that's what we've been working on. And this floral event is going to have educational pieces throughout the flowers. And then it's also going to have activities that you guys can do, like sending letters. We're going to have pre-addressed envelopes, and you can write letters to survivors who are currently serving prison sentences for whatever happened to them through their abuse. April being one of those people. So you can just, you know, sit down in the flowers and with what you just learned through the education pieces and write a letter to someone who's living this situation. So the event is going to be, again, at Spark Creative Lab. It is this weekend, so Saturday and Sunday. There's specific times, but what I'm going to do is link the invitation in our show notes today if you would like to attend. That way you guys can have all the details written out for you. And I will also be setting up today and tomorrow, and we will be having a private opening on Friday night. So I will be definitely showing that on my Instagram stories to give you guys a taste of what it's going to look like in the space. So definitely be on the lookout. I would love to have anyone and everyone out. And like, if you do go, like, be sure to take pictures. Like, this is first of all going to be beautiful, very Instagrammable, but more than that, it's going to help raise awareness about an important issue. So I always say everybody is an influencer. You have influence. If you have two followers, those are two people you can influence. So I feel like, you know, go take a beautiful photo and maybe take some photos of the educational pieces and put it as a little slideshow. Something like that would be super helpful for us. And that's why we're doing what we're doing, to help raise awareness, spread the word. Yes. So anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to the show. I promise we are going to get back to our regularly scheduled programming, but I just had to like sort of dump all of this onto you guys so that you know what happened yesterday, where things stand, and what's around the corner. Again, Wednesday is the date that we will be watching in terms of the governor. I will keep you guys posted. And for that, for today, that is the news du jour. Today, I wanted to leave you guys with the quote, "They tried to bury us. They didn't know we were seeds." If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you use to listen. A rate and review on that platform or a shout out on social media would mean the world to us and help us to be able to keep creating the news du jour and reach more people who need a calmer space to consume the news. But the best way to support all of our work is to become a patron at www.patreon.com/sugarfreemedia, and that is also linked in our show notes. You can follow us on social media at newsdujour.podcast on both Instagram and TikTok. You can follow my personal account at It's Annie Bowles on both platforms as well. Any little noises you may hear in the background are my rescue pup. He has a little separation anxiety and always records with me. We appreciate you listening and look forward to telling you about the news again next time on News du Jour.
Broadcasting from